Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy
they bring to me.
How I long once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by his wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
What joy they bring to me.
How I long once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. Oh, my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
Oh, what joy they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening, everyone, and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, I come now in prayer in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I come, Father, asking the Holy Spirit to be with me this evening, that the words spoken will be your words and not mine. Because, Father, we need to be coming with your word to mankind, them knowing that it's not us, it's not done by our power, it's done through your power. Because without that Holy Spirit, our seeing has been dull, and our hearing has been softened, and we won't be able to get the right understanding, Father, without that Holy Spirit. Now be with us, Father, through this evening as we continue on with the service that we started this morning and did not get to finish. And Father, we ask this in the sweet, precious name of Jesus. Amen. All right. We're in the 5th chapter of Matthew. We started this morning with the Sermon on the Mount. There's 48 verses to that chapter. We only got through 16. But we'll see what the Spirit has for us this evening and see if we get through the rest of it this evening or if we're going to have to pick it back up again some other time. So beginning here with verse 17, He says, think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy it, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, shall heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say thy fool shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring thy gift to the altar and there remaineth that thy brother has fought against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversaries quickly while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. You have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that the whole body should be cast into hell. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say to you, that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery, and whosoever shall marry her that is divorced committeth adultery. And I'm going to stop here for the time being. We'll back up here to this 17th verse and get a little deeper in to God's word. Because you and I are living in a day and time to where we don't have much time left. And what time we do have left, we need to be at work, and at work for the Lord. And as we look all around us, we are seeing things we ought not to see, and things that should not be going on at all. And yet they are being accepted into a lot of our churches, not even looked down upon as being evil, and yet they are evil enough to send the soul to hell. and end up in that lake of fire. As we were talking this morning, when we were actually seeing about the blessings and all of that, got into being salt of the earth, and how we should be walking upon this earth, and how we're to be the light of the world. And when you bring that all together, and you add this in with tonight, or this evening, you'll find that the church world today, I'm talking about our worldly churches out here, these churches that have built these walls, that is leading our people so far astray that most will never get right again. That's why you and I are told in God's word that the harvest is ripe and the harvest is great, but the workers are few. Because not many will dedicate their lives to the extent that it is taking today in order to work and to serve and to live as a child of the living God, and to do what God has called us to do. And if you are a child of God, you have been called. Now what you decide to do, it's your choice. But for those that are truly walking with the Lord Jesus Christ, you find that they need to walk upright, straight, and strictly according unto the Word of God. That 17th verse is telling you and I that the foundation having been laid for the message of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we find that in these statements, in the statements of the Beatitudes, Jesus now proceeds to show you and I the superiority of his message to that of the law of Moses. Now you see, a lot of them are teaching and believing that the old Bible is no good to us at all. But that's not true. We need to be studying all of God's word. And he tells us, and we will be getting into that hopefully tonight, because it lays in our message, or in our writing, that nothing is going to change. Not one word of God's word will change. I don't know why man keeps trying to change it and make it mean things that it doesn't mean. And you know, in that 17th verse, he talks about that Jesus didn't come to destroy the law. Jesus came in order to fulfill that law. And that the New Testament gospel is not contrary to the Old Testament law, but rather it is the ultimate fulfillment of God's spiritual intention of the law, where the law had degenerated into legalism, and among the Pharisees especially. And Jesus now takes the law beyond mere outward observance, and he does so and takes it to the inner spiritual intentions of God. Most of us, we don't really take the time to study God's word. And as we are reading and studying God's word, and you come to a word that you don't know the meaning of it, and you may take it one way, when actually it's giving you something completely different. So when you come to a word that you don't know the meaning of it, look it up. That's what study's all about, is to look it up and see what the meaning of that word really is. Now, verse 18, he says, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." He's using there a unique form that was used by Jesus throughout his preaching to draw attention to the authority. And that's where he says, "For verily I say." When we start a scripture that starts with "verily I say" or "verily, verily," he's wanting to draw your attention because it is important for you to know and to understand. But he draws our attention unto that part of the message. And it's also used as a designation of authoritarian teaching. One jot or one tittle refers to the most minute letter, and the marks of the Hebrew alphabet, a jot. In the Hebrew, the word for that word jot is yoda, Y-O-D-H. And it's the smallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet. It functions as a Y in English and looks similar to an SP. A little is a small projection on the edge of certain Hebrew letters to distinguish them from one another. You see how easy it is to take things and take them out of context, to make them say things they're not even saying. That's why we need the study of God's word, where the Holy Spirit can lead and guide us and bring us the knowledge of God's word that we need, so that we can take that word, bring it into our lives, and live it. Just talking it doesn't mean anything. It's living it. I can stand here and preach and preach and preach and preach and preach. But if I'm not living the life, I'm not accomplishing much. And God's Word lets us know that also. We have to live it. But a lot of us don't. In my younger days, and I know that I'm older than most that will hear this message, that will download it, listen to it, or wherever. But I can remember when the man of the home, he was the boss of the home. He ran the home. And when it came Saturday night, he let his family know, get everything ready for morning because tomorrow is church day and we're going to church. They don't do it anymore. And that's why we've got women today wanting to take the men's place in the podium because he hasn't taken his place even at home. Nor is he doing it in the church and doing it with truth. So he doesn't have the understanding and the teaching of the Lord God that he needs in order to see God's work done without walking in the Spirit, walking filled with the Lord Jesus. You'll not see the power of God at work. And any church, I don't care what church, any church to where the power of God is denied, stay away from it. You'll never see me deny the power of God. No way. Now, a lot of times we'll ask God for things, and he'll grant it. But he may not grant it right then. It may be days. It may be weeks. It may be months. It may be years down the road before that will happen or come about. Isaiah gives us the best example of what I'm talking about there as any place I know of in the Bible that gives it. Because you see, with the book of Isaiah, and go to that 53rd chapter in Isaiah, 430 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth as a babe, God told Isaiah it was coming. Isaiah never saw it, but he didn't doubt that it was coming about. And yet God is telling you and I things to do, how to walk, and just because something don't happen right that moment, we take our minds and we'll say, well, you know, well, he's done it for others, but he's just not going to do it for me. Well, that may keep you from ever having it, but it don't mean that's not going to happen down the road, because it will. The only ones that lost out is you, because you wouldn't accept his word. Isaiah in chapter 53 tells exactly about his coming, about him being born, about him living, about his ministry, about his death, and all 430 years later. So when we ask God for something, don't worry about when. Just know it has happened. We may not see it, but it's happened. It's taken place. That's like I'm asked every day. You talk about God healing. I see you're still wearing your oxygen. That don't mean I'm not healed, because I am. When he's going to bring it to my sight, I don't know. Or when he is going to lay it all out, I don't know, but he does, because he knows the best time for all parts of everything I ask for. He knows the best time to bring it about. You see, that's where faith comes in. And without faith, we can't please God. And we've got to have that love, one for another, for each one of us, to love the other and to love all mankind. We don't love the sin they do, the things they do against God, no. But we love that person. Now, he goes on here in 19, and he tells us, he said, whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven, but whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. You see, we have to walk in seriousness of the law. And the Lord Jesus Christ, while he was here on this earth, and has left a record for you and I to have, he emphasizes the importance of keeping even the smallest detail. Think about it. Yet, to keep the smallest detail of God's word and the things he will ask of us, it takes us walking totally committed in that spiritual perfection. Oh, no, Pastor, you just can't. There's nobody perfect. Only Jesus. He's the only one. Does the Lord Jesus or our Heavenly Father tell you and I to do something that we can't do, or be something we can't be? I'm going to turn over to the last part of this chapter. We're going to be going back where we are now. I'm just going to turn over, because I want you to see what I tell you quite often, that it is God's word. In the last verse of chapter 5, it says, be ye therefore perfect. Uh-oh. He's telling you, the Lord Jesus, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Because you see, we are told throughout God's word that Jesus, the Holy Spirit, for the Father will not live where there is sin. And yet, we are told that when we are truly born again, they're going to come and live in us, and us in them. But God don't tell you to do something you can't do. And he told you, be ye perfect, just as he is perfect. You see, they look at the apostles that walked with Jesus while Jesus was here on earth. And they'll say, well, look at all of the mistakes, all of the wrong things they did. They weren't living under grace like you and I are living either. They were living under the law, under legalism, that could not make them sin free. Under a whole lot that they couldn't and would not keep. Now, not that they couldn't have, because they could have, but they didn't, because it did amount to doing a whole lot of things. And sometimes you had to do a lot of things for something very, very, very small. Sometimes it got even expensive. They didn't keep it. But a lot of it wasn't destroyed. It was fulfilled. And we are living the fulfillment of it today. The Ten Commandments was given to us under the law. And yet we are to live by every one of them. Most of our churches are not doing it. That's why they're going down and down and down every day. Our churches are falling every day. And mankind is getting harder to get him into church for him to hear anything about the gospel or the Lord Jesus Christ at all. Now, 20. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Because of necessity of righteousness, and as a requirement to enter heaven, Jesus declared in his day and time that except their righteousness should exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, they could not enter heaven. He's gave you and I the same thing, because it's here recorded in his word. As he said, his word is not going to pass away, nor is it going to change. Just because mankind wanted to change it don't mean it changed, no. The significance of this is seen in the fact that the Jews of Jesus' day considered these people to be the most religious in all Israel. However, I want you to understand this. However, their religion was largely an outward show of self-righteousness. An outward show of self-righteousness. In other words, it puffed me up instead of giving the praise, the honor, and the glory unto the Lord Jesus Christ. Just lift me up. And yet, for the most part, as I said earlier, mankind is not running his own home. He's not fulfilling what he was put here for. You see, we all have a certain place to be. In communicating that we do the depth of Jesus' message used in a series of contrasts between the outward behavior demanded by the law and the inner attitude of the heart. What kind of attitude are you walking in today? See, to most of us, all of that, well, attitude, that don't really matter a whole lot. Matters enough it can put your soul in hell and in that lake of fire, because attitude can lead you in the wrong way. The attitude, especially the attitude of the heart that is desired by God. And you know, it is through that that we discover the practical applications of genuine Christian character to true spiritual living. Just as here we see the gospel in action. Now, along with this verse 20, there's a few things I wanted to share with you. You see, these were things that was in the church with the Pharisees and the scribes. Under the law, it says no murder, no adultery, no divorce, no oath-taking, no retaliation, and hatred for your enemy, tradition allowed it. But see, in the spirit, we're to have no anger, no lust. We're to have commitment, speak the truth, forgiveness, and love for our enemies. Quite a difference, isn't it? Now, 21, you have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. Uh-oh. Going to be in danger of judgment. Thou shalt not kill. And you know, the reference to killing is clearly understood in its context in both the Old and New Testament as referring to an act of murder. Jesus goes beyond this outward demand of the law by stating that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause is in just as great a danger of judgment as a murderer. You don't even have to commit murder to be in that kind of danger with God. Just be angry with your brother or with someone out here. For anger is the emotion and inner intention that leads to murder. I know in my lifetime, and back when I was younger, there were several times that I come close to killing because I was angry. But I thank God he stopped me. And I wasn't even his, but he knew what he had for me. And he managed to stop me from committing that murder. Verse 22. And I say unto you, that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. You know, Raca, the meaning of that word Raca is actually calling him a vain fella or empty-headed. That's what the word means. But then to stand up and call a man a fool can put you in danger of hell itself. Therefore, if thou being thy gift, bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has fought against thee. 24, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way. First be reconciled to the brother and then come and offer thy gift. God really means what he says. And he says it in a lot of different ways and different places to let us know that it is his intention and the intention of his heart that he wants us to have in our heart, not to do these things. And having made a comparison between the command not to murder and the inner motive and heart intentions of hatred, Jesus then, you know, he illustrates for you and I the seriousness of these things to one who would attempt to bow off his conscience by giving something to God without clearing his conscience in regard to his offended brother. In other words, thinking he could buy God off. That's serious. It's a very serious wrong when we get to the point of believing we can buy God off. But we do it all the time. We're to get right with the brother first and then take our gift to God. 25. Agree with thine adversaries quickly while thou art in the way with him. Excuse me. Least at any time the adversary delivers thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. And with this next verse, these last two verses here, I'm going to be closing out. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. So you see, the Savior has then went on to tell you and I that even if our adversary, which is an opponent, that law disagrees with you, it is to your advantage to be reconciled to him. Go and make peace with him, if at all possible. But you do everything you can in order to get that done. He may not accept it, but then that's on him, not you. As long as you are doing and obeying what God has called upon you and I to do and to accomplish. Think about it. We've had two good lessons today, and we're not done yet with this. Well, God willing, he may have me pick up here where I'm leaving off with the 26th verse, finish this out, or he may give us something else. I don't know. Whatever it'll be, I'm sure it'll be good. Because he don't give us nothing that ain't good. Let us go to the Father in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, we thank you for your word, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Holy Spirit. And Father, we thank you for times that we can come together to share your word. Help us, Father, to build this church, to build the membership of this church, Father. Help us in reaching out to others with the word. And Father, help us to bring the word into our lives so that as they see us, they see the Lord Jesus Christ. And let each one, Father, that is within the sound of my voice, as I'm praying here now, Father, we each have a gift. You may know what yours is and you may not, but if you don't, spend time with the Father. Find out what your gift is because you need to be using it. And he's not keeping it from you. You just have not reached out to find out about it or what it is and what it's for. Now, Father, for your saints, wherever they are in the world, I ask the Holy Spirit to keep them safe, keep them in health, and see to their needs. And for Jerusalem and Israel, Father, we pray for peace for them because we know that right now, Father, they are not having much peace. We're being fired upon every day. Places blown up, people killed. Father, we pray that they will accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, as their Messiah, so that one day Israel also will be known as a land for Jesus. We pray for help for them, Father, in this land of ours, the land that, Father, at one time loved the Lord Jesus Christ with all of its heart, loved the church, loved your people, and loved your word, turned its back upon all. Now they're against the Lord, they're against your people, they're against the church. They want nothing to do with any of us or anything. But Father, help us as we can come together and bring us together, Father, so that we can stand as enough to stand against anything Satan wants to throw at the church and at your people, and to change our government, bring it to repentance, fill it with those that love you and love the Lord Jesus, love the Holy Spirit, and walk fully committed unto you, Father. And Father, our prayer list has each name is called. I ask the Holy Spirit to touch that one. Work with them to bring them closer and stronger and dedicated unto the Lord Jesus Christ. James Taylor, myself, Dennis Lee, Kenny Powers, Terry Coates, Bobby and Millie Johnson, and all of our families, Father. Holy Spirit, work within our families. We don't want to see any of them lost. And we know that we all have some that are not what they should be in the Spirit. Work with them. Bring them around so that none be lost, that they all make heaven their home. Mark Pavlik, Amy, Amy's husband Tom, Amy and Tom, Jim's son Jacob, Dennis Breed and his wife Taylor, Brothers in Christ, Aaron Brandenburg, Pastor Smalls, the Glory Bound Church, Pastor Randy Johnson, and Father, that church there, Church of God in Brandenburg, it has a new pastor now, and Brother Randy in moving was caught in that flood and lost everything he had. Be with him, Father, in that church. The Meade County General Baptist Church and the pastors there, Pastor Don Hillman, Pastor Alan Thomas, Pastor Tony Galladay, Pastor Eric and his wife Jackie. Father, we're told that Jackie is awful sick. We're not told what's wrong with her, but you know what is. Touch her, Father. Bring about a healing to her. Walk with them. Work with them. Put them on the right road. And that little full gospel church and all these churches, Father, make them lighthouses, but not just lighthouses. Make them lighthouses because they are filled with the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Make them places of refuge to where the lost walking in darkness can go and find Jesus and the Holy Spirit and become your child and live according to your word. For my three friends, Father, there in Pakistan, Pastor Haroon Islam, Pastor Barak Mishai, Pastor Zephyrin Ivan, Father, keep them safe. Keep them in health and see to their needs. For Jimmy Emery, Sharon Mombello and her mother, for Sue and David Branson, for Palin Goodman, for Karen Lee, Father, for Kelly Smith and his wife, these all stand in need of a touch, that touch. Some needs a touch physically, a physical healing. And some are standing in need of a spiritual healing. Work with them. Bring about the healing that is needed. And make them see that they need the Lord Jesus Christ in their lives. Make them whole. Father, be with this church now. Help us to fill it. It's yours. It's not ours. You set me here as an overseer. Now, Father, use it in this community. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't forget now, 6 p.m. Eastern Time Thursday evening. We'll be back into the Word of God. So until then, walk with God. He'll walk with you. Have a safe few days. In Jesus' name, we ask. Amen.